Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Saying goodbye to Clayton Kershaw.
It's a bittersweet, weird day that we kind of knew was coming, but it, nevertheless, it's shocking.
The latest arguments over free speech and TV.
Jimmy Kimmel needs to stop. The media that does that need to stop.
And what money crisis for the city of L.A.?
In the neighborhood of about $6 billion in new debt.
Welcome to the LA Local for Friday, September 19th, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, James Tuck. Coming up, we talk about what kind of tone we'll see at the funeral for Charlie Kirk on Sunday, and find out about how the Olympics, in 3 years' time, is involved in decisions now about the LA Convention Center. But first, Tom Hanks famously said in A League of Their Own, there is no crying in baseball, but there will not be a dry eye in the house as Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw makes his final regular season start at Chavez Ravine. And talking of tears, the beloved Dodger choked up as he announced he will retire at the end of the season.
I'm really not sad. I'm really not. I'm really at peace with this. It's just emotional, and I've tried to hold it together. I told our guys not to make it weird, because I was going to get weird if you make it weird, and here I am making it weird.
Also feeling weird, LA baseball writer Molly Knight, who talked with our Margaret Carrero.
It's definitely surreal. I mean, I was there for his no-hitter. I mean, I was there when he was a pup and his uniform didn't fit him. You know, like most people don't reach the pinnacle of their field. And just his longevity is frankly amazing, even as amazing as how good he's been. So yeah, it's a bittersweet, weird day that we kind of knew was coming, but nevertheless, it's shocking to have it announced that this is it. And by the way, get your tickets for the game. I heard that the StubHub is going crazy right now.
Yeah, we were looking. I mean, the cheapest seats are over $200 at this point, and yeah. And they just go up from there. You talked about his longevity. I mean, the fact that he played his full 18-year career with one team, how rare is it to see someone play so long for one team?
Absolutely. Just very, very rare. And I think it should happen more often. It doesn't because of free agency and other issues, but you know, credit to the Dodgers also for kind of just recognizing the importance of that and letting him in each offseason. You know, lately he's had injuries. He's dealt with his back, his toe. He's had different surgeries. And you know, he kind of comes back on a year-to-year basis. And they kind of let him set the terms. And since he's been more diminished lately, he's not asking for $30 million a year. You know, but that's unusual to kind of have a standing like, yeah, just let us know if you're going to play next year and let us know how much money you'd like. And we'll make that happen. We'll work it out. That's very unusual.
By the way, Saturday night will also be special at Dodger Stadium. It's Kershaw Bobblehead Night. A lot of conservatives from California will be traveling to Phoenix on Sunday for the funeral for Charlie Kirk. It's being held at the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, the home of the Arizona Cardinals of the NFL. I talked with conservative Henry Olson, who is senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Explain what sort of tone you think should be struck at the funeral on Sunday.
I think that the president and the widow, Erica Kirk, should strike a tone of renewal but defiance, which is to say that Charlie Kirk was killed by a deranged person who was set in a deranged motion in part by the unrelenting, unremitting hate that has been spread against people of Charlie's political persuasion for many years. And I think they should call it out. And I think what they should do is rise above the occasion and say that Americans are better than this. Also note that there are people who aren't and that they need to be excised rhetorically from public life. What you do not want to do is give in to anger, passion, and a desire for revenge. It's understandable why people would want that. It's understandable why Erica would want that. But that is just simply bringing yourself down to the level of the person who fired the shot. It brings yourself down to the level of the people who want to amplify our divisions and stoke more hatred and more violence. On the other hand, what you should not do is pretend that there was no political motivation. You should not argue everything is on both sides. There's been a distinctly anti-conservative, anti-MAGA trend to online and public discourse that is intense, it is angry, it is hateful, and it is ubiquitous. And what you need to do to say is that must stop. And we call on Democrats to reject those statements unequivocally and to separate themselves from the angry minority that say those things and to move away from the sort of rhetoric that encourages violence. And I think that's the middle course, which is say not to run away from what happened and bury it, but not to give in to the desire for revenge.
There's been a lot of talk, I mean, especially here in Southern California, Hollywood, media capital of the world. I mean, there were protests outside the Jimmy Kimmel Live Theater last night. Jimmy Kimmel has been taken off the air. I mean, what's your view on that? Is this a private company, ABC, Disney, in the end, taking the steps they want? And how about the involvement of the FCC? Just give me a view on that.
I do not think that the chairman of the FCC should have said anything about this. I think that was wrong. I don't think that the president or agents of the president should be publicly or privately pressuring people to suppress or moderate their speech. On the other hand, Jimmy Kimmel is an example of the person who has spread baseless, unfounded, surreptitious slurs, lies, and mischaracterizations for years on network television. And what he said about the person who murdered Charlie Kirk, you know, that MAGA was trying to distance themselves, you know, avoid that he was one of them. There's no proof for that. He was either recklessly disregarding of the truth or he was lying. And both of those things are capable of libel, even under New York Times versus Sullivan. Jimmy Kimmel needs to stop. The media that does that need to stop, because that's encouraging the diseased minds that hear those words, who then decide to take matters into their own hand. And Erica Kirk is a widow now because of
many years ago, I worked for the BBC. I mean, I've been living in Southern California for 25 years, but many years ago, and there's this sort of balance thing, one side and the other. Oh, yes, the left is bad, but the right is bad too. But what you're saying is that this invective, this vitriol, has been coming from the left and it seeped in. Isn't there vitriol as well from the right? Isn't it equal? Or is that wrong? I mean, you know, it's a genuine question and I hope you appreciate it. I don't want to come at it with any slant.
No, I understand that. Look, one of the problems that we've got in America is that both sides are engaging in vitriol. I'm not going to say it's all one side. It certainly is not all one side. But which side has three major networks that largely amplify it on their entertainment platform and on their news platform? That's the left. Which side dominates virtually all of the leading institutions in the publishing world, in the academia world, in the entertainment world? Well, that would be the left. Which actors come up and issue vile statements or political statements at awards? It's not the right, it's the left. What you see overwhelmingly is there is vitriol on both sides, and I argue against vitriol on both sides, but the platforming of it and the broad-based, widely available broadcast, large institutional media and other places in this country is largely from the left. It has been unprovoked and unabated for a decade, and it must stop.
Henry Olsen. I also talked about Jimmy Kimmel being taken off TV with longtime LA Democratic political strategist Dari Shrago.
I don't recall an action from the executive branch that has been so widely viewed as threatening the First Amendment. And the concern about what Brendan Carr said is not just amongst Democrats, it's amongst Republicans. You have Lisa Murkowski, and you've got Ted Cruz and Jerry Moran of Kansas, all expressing concern about what the FCC chair did. Disney is run by some incredibly smart, capable, successful people. And with time, my suspicion is that it will turn out that what Disney really did here, contrary to the immediate read in public that they tried to save some business deals, I think it's conceivable that what they did was try to get themselves out of the line of fire, because the notion that somehow the left has a monopoly on activism and raising the political stakes is just not supported by the facts. And I would not be surprised, and again, I have no evidence to support this, if Disney took a look at the situation they were in and said, wait a minute, we have the safety of our employees to consider. We have the safety of our park patrons to consider. If somebody wants to come at us from the right side of the aisle, bent for destruction, they could do incredible damage to us. The Disney brand is just part of this country. I mean, it's woven into the fabric of this country. And let's remember, Disneyland is known as the happiest place on earth. And it makes sense to me that Disney would say, look, we just want to step down. We don't want to be a part of this vitriol. We want to protect our customers. We want to protect our employees. And we just want to be part of calming down the rhetoric in this country. And so sometimes the best thing to do is step aside.
He tells us he thinks the FCC chairman may end up as being seen as tilting at windmills, as the real hatred, in his view, is in social media and online, not on the traditional TV networks. Now, the Olympics are coming to LA in 3 years' time. You may have heard. Feel the excitement. Cue the Olympic theme. Get ready for saturation coverage by NBC. And today, the LA City Council voted 11-2 for a long-delayed project to expand the convention center, where some of the events will be held. Now, they made that decision amid major warnings about the cost. The project could drain more than $100 million annually from the city's general fund. Now, that plays for police, firefighters, and other essential services. On top of that, construction must begin immediately to meet the 2028 Olympics deadline. I got more from our City Hall reporter, Craig Figner. Aren't we in a budget crisis and now we're having a big expansion?
Yeah, James. And hey, great to be with you, by the way. Happy Friday. Yes, we are in a budget crisis. You might remember all the hand-wringing, the pearl-clutching, when it became public that there was a $1 billion budget deficit and drastic measures had to be taken. Well, that memory, difficult as it was for city leadership, is apparently faded, because today they decided to take on what will ultimately be in the neighborhood of about $6 billion in new debt to add hundreds of thousands of new square feet to the Los Angeles Convention Center. Now, this is a construction project that's not without controversy, because originally there was a planned, at least a hopeful plan, which proved not to be feasible, but to get the construction done before the Los Angeles Olympics. That's not possible. So what they're going to do is start construction, then pause the construction during the Olympics and restart it after the Olympics conclude. There will be, at least now, two confirmed events at the convention center at part of it. That, I believe, will be judo and ping pong. But this amount of money, this $6 billion that will be financed over 30 years, really alarmed Councilmember Katie Yaroslavsky, who's chair of the city's budget committee. She said it's a multi-billion dollar gamble, that it's fiscally irresponsible. And then you had Councilmember Nithya Raman, who said she's scared of the future of L.A. having a beautiful convention center, but still not having had tackled homelessness and having increasing homelessness around that beautiful convention center. So Raman and Yaroslavsky were the only no votes today.
Now, the IOC, International Olympic Committee, very powerful. Did they put the pressure on saying, come on, you've got to make this convention center a nice place for us to have table tennis, ping pong, and judo? I mean, was pressure brought to bear?
Well, okay, that is a great question. No pressure that I observed from the IOC or the LA 28 organizing committee. The pressure came from labor unions. They packed the council chamber, and they have been pushing, leaning on council members for a yes vote on this because, of course, this will result in numerous construction jobs. So IBEW, just a number of labor unions were there in the chamber speaking in support of this, and labor unions, of course, contribute to council members' political campaigns. So their voices are not unnoticed.
Thank you, Craig, and have a good weekend.
You too. Great to be with you.
That's the LA SoCal Local for Friday, September 19th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. That's all from me for now. On Monday, you'll get your update from my colleague, Brandon Liebhaber. For now, goodbye, good luck, and cheers!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.